Well, it's wonderful to be here. Hasn't been that many opportunities to preach lately, so I thoroughly enjoy when the time comes, and this is the time. I'm super excited. I hope that you get excited about God today. I hope that you feel something, that something happens in the kushkush inside of you to be exciting about what the Lord is doing with us and with you. And I will send an email, according to Marilyn, I'll send an email tomorrow and give you the details. If you want to look at them yourself, go to Giving 15 on the 21st day of August, and there are details there, but I'll send them. So if you don't get my email, go to giving15.com and look at August 21, and there is the details of a prayer summit that is happening next Friday, and that we can join as a congregation. It's many congregations are doing that publicly. I don't feel at this point that we have the personnel in security team to do a public event on a Friday night because of all that's going on. So we will send that. We'll do that. You can join this for free. There's a Zoom link, and you can join this prayer summit. Many people are going to be praying around the world at this very same time. Yeshua is the healer. We're not the healers. But there's power in many, many voices asking the Lord to release that special anointing of health that we need to move forward. And we have prayed here for the restoration of Kyle's sight. And we prayed here for David to have be able to move again. And he is moving again. And he is walking around again. And he told me so. So it's like, hey, Rabbi, the your prayer worked. Well, Yeshua is the one that does anything here. I don't do a thing other than to get him in trouble. And you know, get him into a point that he has to respond. And so we are putting him on the spot. And we prayed about a number of other things to pray about. We prayed about Elizabeth and her family. And here they are. And thank you, Elizabeth, for obeying the voice of the Lord. We prayed about your family coming, Elizabeth, and here they are. And we prayed about a number of other things, but you know where you are with the Lord. You know specifically if there's something that you specifically need that maybe it's not even known, and maybe he doesn't let you let it be known, and it's inside. Or maybe there's an opportunity to have a release from something, or look, it's primarily about prayer for healing. But there's two kinds of healing. There's physical healing, there's emotional healing. And I dare say there's a number of you here that need emotional healing. Why do we know that? Duh, because we're people. Duh, because I need emotional healing myself sometimes. And I'm sensing there's been, in the last 2 weeks, there's been a move of God released. There's been something released even in our congregation. You know, I wish we could just all go to wherever it is, somewhere in the Midwest of the United States, and be there next Friday night. If I had the money and the planes would go. And I'm not talking about Sam's planes. I'm talking about like jets and stuff and, you know, first class. Yeah, man. And go and sign up and join up and say, we are here. We are here. Let revival begin in Gainesville, Florida. It's not likely, right, that nobody's looking at us to have any kind of revival. Why would there anything come out of Nazareth? Why would anything come out of Gainesville? Well, I'm telling you, we're here. We're here and we are been asking the Lord about this. We have been pleading with the Lord about revival to come here. And often revival must be preceded or be accompanied with healing. It's just really hard to worship the Lord when you can't move. You know, like, I'm going to worship the Lord, but you can't move. So he healed them. Peter and John went to pray. They made a lame man on the way. He stuck out his palm and he asked for an alms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Yeshua, Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Next verse. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Was he praising God before he got healed? I tell you, he had faith. Because the story goes that this he's been there a long time. And you may say he's asking just for alms. He just needs, he's a beggar asking for something. I'm a beggar. I'd be just happy to beg the Lord for revival for our congregation, for a new lease on life for so many of you, for healing from the wounds that it's been done to you that you didn't deserve, you didn't ask for. Many of you have been damaged. Everything's been tried. The enemy has tried to sift you out. And I'm just saying to you that, look, if he's going to do it somewhere in the Midwest, and we can get on Zoom and get it. We can get it. So I hope you will join us next Friday. This week's Torah reading is Ekev. Ekev is translated as a consequence of, which is one of the meanings of the root word Ekev in Hebrew. But the primary meaning of the word Ekev is heel. The heel, like the heel of the foot. Our father Jacob was named Yaakov, which comes from Ekev. Because Akov is the aleph in there that takes that sound, because he was fighting with Esau to come out of the womb. And Esau evidently got there first. And he said, well, you're not going without me. And so he hung on to the foot of Esau and he came out. And since the womb, that those two groups of people from Jacob and from Esau have been fighting. Wrestling. You know, like WMA or whatever it is. I don't even know the letters, okay? Every once in a while, something shows up on a sports program that I'm not even looking for. And it's not even on TV. And it shows up and somebody's going, ah, boom. And they're, you know, fighting. That's what those two boys were doing inside that mom. And that's what they continue to do to this day. They're descendants. However, as much as there is in this parashat, there is something that just I can't get rid of. I can't get away from. I spoke about it last week. I think it was last week or 2 weeks, whenever it was. I last spoke here. And spoke about the book of Deuteronomy and the fact that there was all these remember to remember. Remember to remember in the book of Deuteronomy. This is in this parashah. In this reading, the father tells his children to be careful to remember. Be careful to remember. In verse 11 of Deuteronomy 8, beware, i.e., be careful. Take care that you do not forget Adonai your God by not keeping his mitzvot, his commandments, his ordinances and statutes that I'm commanding you today. But that's not really it. All of it in very short amount of verses. like Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 8, 11, okay, and other places. He says the following. He says to remember five times, okay? That's in Deuteronomy 7, 18, 8, 2, for those of you that want to know. 8, 18, 9, 7, and 9, 27. Within like a chapter's worth, there's five times, remember. But then he said, do not forget. Well, you see, what's the same thing? Remember and do not forget. You know the way I take that? Some of you like chocolate, some of you like vanilla. Some of you think the cup is half full, and some of you think the cup is half empty. Some of you are sometimes a little bit negative in nature. Oh, it's terrible. This is happening. It's, you know, high humidity today. Oh, my God, this is happening. And then you talk to my daughter, and high humidity, she goes, she does this thing. Like, she must be crazy. She's related to Marilyn. So he tells us not just to remember, but then he tells us not to forget. So the half cup and the full cup people, the half empty and half full, all of us are included. And here it is, four times, 8:11, 8:14, 8:19, and 9:7. Obviously, Yah, this is what I don't like to use just Adonai, because Adonai is really primarily a title. And if I'm going to use Adonai, I need to precede it. Adonai means my Lord. But the way it was used in Scripture is my Lord Yah. My Lord Yah, Adonai Yah, or Yah Adonai. So obviously, Yah Adonai wants his children to reminisce. Oh, I like that word. What does it mean? Well, it's like a cow. A cow eats and then reminisces. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another word for it, but that's okay. He wants us to keep fresh in our minds his instructions. Now, there's a lot of instructions there, but there's some that are way more prominent than others. And I picked out five that are in these scriptures here. What are these five things that Adonai Yah wants us to remember and not forget? In other words, to reminisce. What did he say specifically? Number one, he said, remember from where you've come. Well, I guess that doesn't apply to anybody here, right? And some people don't even claim that they came from Georgia anymore. God forbid. Okay? Or Idaho, for that matter. Or, you know, I came from Puerto Rico. Remember where you came from. Where did you come from? Canada. What part of Canada? Southampton, right? Or say Toronto. Okay. Every once in a while, she'll say, eh, or something like very, very, eh, hey. Number two, remember your inheritance. But really, you have to be reminded that you have an inheritance. I tell you what, somebody said, we left you $100,000. Would you forget? Well, if you try to get it and the hassle that it is to get it, right? At some point you go, I just keep it. Right? But the hassle here is not because Adonai has a hassle for you. It's because the enemy puts all this hassle. He's perfected this. He studied in Spain and Latin America, and he knows how to give you hassle. And so that you could get discouraged. But I tell you, if you know that there's a $100,000 inheritance, at some point you go like, I don't care whether you like me or not. Give me what's mine. And I think that's a mindset we need to have here. We need to remember that there is an inheritance. What is that inheritance all about? I'm telling you, the inheritance is a lifestyle. The inheritance is what Yeshua said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. I want to ask us, are we living an abundant life? And the answer for most of us would be, what is that? What do you mean abundant? I have enough money? What are you talking about? About a week or so ago, my daughter called on the phone and she started sharing what the Lord's been doing with her. And about an hour and a half later, we're there listening, jumping up and down, understanding that she's getting the taste of the abundant life right now. What do you mean right now? Well, right now for her, this is the most difficult summer in preparation for the most difficult thing. You know, all stuff is going on and all stuff's going with Steve and blah, it's all going kibbutz. And she's calling and saying, I'm having this good time with the Lord. And she's talking about all this that's going on. And we're like, man, do you have some of that elixir in your home? Is there something we need to go get? What did you eat? I want some, etc. Guys, it's for us. David, I still declared for you. I'm not stopping. Let's do the walking and leaping deal and praising God. When you start walking and leaping and praising God, and you know, I'll join you because by then I can jump and leap too. Look, there's reasons why we're down. It's a miracle that Jean is here. She just had surgery 6 days ago or 5 days ago. The same one that I did. I was not able to come to the congregation at this 5-day mark. No way. I could barely get up. I could barely go to the bathroom. I could barely put my clothes on myself or any of that. There she is. Some people get it, man. Got any teeth? Let's show me some teeth. Show the Lord some teeth. Smile. You're on candid camera. Smile. You're on candid camera. We need to develop a different attitude. I'm after that. Next thing he said, remember the way, which is in Hebrew, haderech. I could preach on remember haderech. Because he's been talking about haderech since the book of Genesis. Okay? And haderech, the way, ends up being a person. I am the way. Do you ever wonder, why did you say that, the way? Because when you say it in Hebrew, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back to the scripture where it talks all the time about haderech. You know that the original name for believers was not Christians. The original name for believers was the followers of Haderech. The folks on the way, also the truth and the life, right? The followers of Haderech, read it. It's in the Bible. It's in there in the book of Acts. Number 4, remember me. Well, that sounds like Passover. Each time that you do this, as often as you do it, those words are there. Remember me. That means that when we partake of the new covenant Passover, it can't be ignoring who this is really about. Yes, we're commanded as a people to do this in Exodus 12, and we have been doing it since at Passover. But Yeshua came and told his disciples, that's you guys, Each time that you take the cup, and each time that you take this bread, remember me. Ah, we can sing about that. In fact, I have a song called the Communion Song that talks about, that sings that way. Each time you do, remember me. And then finally, this one. Remember what I have said. In other words, remember my word. Now, which one should we call the most important? Let's take a vote. Number one. How many vote for number one? You vote for all of them? You know, let's pick one here. How many want to, I mean, we're going to vote for all of them anyway. How many want to vote for number two as being the most important? How many want to vote for number three as being the most important? Remember the way. That's a good one. How about remember me, the Lord? How many want to vote for that one? How many want to vote for number five? Why do you want to vote for number five and not for number four, number three, which are specifically about Yeshua? I have an answer for that. The Bible says that the Word of God was a schoolmaster, that the Torah was a schoolmaster that took us to Him. I would never be able to get there if the schoolmaster didn't take me there. I would never be able to have fellowship with Him if I did not understand that I was a sinner. If I didn't understand that I had broken Adonai's Torah, I had broken His commandments. If I didn't come to repentance, I would never get there. Right now, all you know about Him, for the majority of us, I dare say, for the majority of us, all we know about Him is what's written. Peradventure, there's somebody here that had a personal thing with the Lord. The Lord's appeared to you personally, or has appeared to you in a dream, or maybe the angels, all those things. But you didn't stay there. It changes you if you get a visitation. I assure you, you're changed. Paul was changed, and he was dumbfounded. He couldn't speak. He was changed. I tell everybody, Paul's changed. Yeah, right. So they had to elect somebody to go and talk to him. I mean, so when the Lord said, Ananias, you go and talk to Paul, it's like, yeah, really? You want me to go talk to Paul? Like, no, the Lord said, okay, I want you to go talk to Khomeini. Or Sinwar. Or some ex-presidents. You pick the one you want. In reality, we need to treasure something. We treasure that those scrolls because we sing about them and say, okay, they say, this is your word, and it's a treasure to us. His word is really the biggest treasure we have. If His word is Him, Him and His word are the same. He exalted His word even above His name. It's written in the Bible. He exalted His word even above His name. So yes, I want to exalt the name of Yeshua. You bet. Yes, I want to exalt Haderach. Yes, I want to exalt, remember Him, remember the things He told me to do. But being kind of practical, an engineer, practical person, how am I going to get it done? I'm going to get it done if I delve into the Word. The Word's going to be the recipe for my life. The way that I can live the abundant life is find out what it has to say about that. Because I don't know what it has to say. I don't know. And the problem is that we haven't lived that way. Christianity has not essentially lived from his word. We have then put creeds, and we have made this, and we made that, and we confess these things we believe, and all of that. And, you know, Yeshua said, get in the water. Peter didn't believe him. And you say, well, yes, he did, but he didn't. Okay, right. Ultimately, he didn't. But he got in the water. And because he got in the water, he got to walk in it. And when his imperfect faith began to fail him, he cried out to Yeshua, and Yeshua reached over and picked him up. That really is sometimes us. We're not really sure. We kind of think that it's happening. So we sit out there with the, I'm walking in the water until you realize, what am I doing? I'm walking in the water. My faith was not enough for this. I'm going to sink. The problem is that the walk of a righteous man is one step at a time. So you step in the water. Wait a minute, that's not it. That's not the walk. You're going to walk, you're going to have to take another step. And that's the problem. The first step, sometimes okay, but the second and the third step, they're difficult. It's difficult because now we have to do something from inside. And what's happening inside is that, oh ye of little faith. I'm not really getting onto us. This is Yeshua's home congregation in Gainesville. What other congregation is open on Shabbat that exalts him? Well, the Adventists are, okay? Well, they do. So we have some company. So it's either going to go to Adventist church or come here. Are the Adventists Jewish? No. So, I mean, he likes Jewish stuff. He went to the synagogue all the time. So what synagogue is there on Shabbat that he can come to? In Gainesville. So in that, what I'm saying, this is his own synagogue. And when he came to his own synagogue, he read the scripture that Marilyn read when we last sang here the previous time from Luke chapter 4. Where it was declared, he declared, this day this is fulfilled in your hearing. What was it fulfilled in my hearing? That I've come to do what? To set the captives free. I've come to do what? To declare the acceptable day of the Lord. To bring healing. That's what he said. It's fulfilled. Did they all get healed? As a matter of fact, A little talk came along. Who's that saying that? Isn't that what's his name, son and son? No. That I remember when he had snot in his face. I remember when he did farts around me. Well, how do you say he did that? He's a boy. As far as I know, all boys fart. And they had contests. You stop not making him who he was. He's fully man, fully God, fully a kid, fully a baby. Let's stop the shenanigans and let's understand that there is stuff we're not really getting. So even if he came here and said, today this scripture is fulfilling your ears, and Kyle walks out of here not healed. I'm picking on you, Kyle, because I love you so much, man, and you and I have a big relationship. Hey, exactly what you did, I do for you. your mom can tell you I did it. I can pick on him because he's my son. What about the rest of us? We go the same way. We leave the same way. We need healing in our heart, but we're not ready to do it. Let's get ready. Look, we live in a world where a person can be blind to the truth of Scripture. And here's what's worse. They can take credit with something that truly belongs to Adonai, to Yah Adonai. In truth, humility is the foundation of any relationship with Yah Adonai. And to the extent that a person lacks humility is the extent which he ascribes greatness to himself and others whom he admires, instead of recognizing that everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. In our society, people routinely take what belongs to Adonai and impute it to men. We've got a press doing that all the time. We have a government doing that all the time. Things that belong to Adonai, belong to him, they give the credit to men. They only give bad credit to the Lord when there's a lightning storm or there's a hurricane. Then we say those are the acts of God. That's the only credit he gets. I call that bad credit. It's bad credit. Is it truthful? Yes. It is truthful. Nothing happens that he doesn't have a say-so in it. But to impute it to him, and on the one hand, it's an act of God, and in the other hand, we don't believe in God. What kind of deal is that? Some people have gone down this road so far that we think there's no chance for them to change in a lifetime. No matter what Yah Adonai does to wake them up from their mistaken way of thinking, they don't get the point. Instead, they're left to wallow in confusion and become pawns of Yah's master plan of creation, for which he uses Satan to do some of this. Oh, wait a minute. What? Oh, he uses the entire creation. It's not like, hands off, I can't touch Satan, he's evil. He created him. I mean, if he could just say to Satan, done. You know, like Siri, done. Done. I often want to ask him, why don't you do what Siri does? And just get some political parties in this country, done. However, I think I'm speaking to a group of exceptions. There are certain scriptural presuppositions. There are conjectures, assumptions, hypotheses, and premises that are at the core of what we believe in this congregation. That's how we act. The fact is that some of us really do believe that there are answers for every question, everything in life in the Bible. That the Bible has the answer. We really believe that. And also, I know that there are plenty of us that believe that he's interested in our own little affairs. In our own little, whatever it is, that he's interested. I am convinced that I'm speaking to a group of people that wants to apply his word and get the benefits. I'm convinced that I'm speaking to a group of people that have said the wisdom of God is the word of God, and all I need to do is line up with it, and I'm going to get results. So the question then becomes, have you been walking with Yeshua? Come on, Wall. Yeah, the rocks is going to cry out any minute now. Have you been walking with Yeshua? Anybody here been walking with Yeshua? Okay. Do you acknowledge the character of Yeshua in your life? Oh, amen. Are you experiencing Yah, Adonai, as intimately as Moses did? I'm working on it. There you go. Good answer. We're working on it. We're working on it. All right. Awesome. As a believer in Yeshua, you and I are to reflect the image of Yah Adonai to everyone we come in contact with. Are we doing that? This is called a pre-exam. This is the week you give a pre-exam. This week, yesterday, Thursday, and Friday. That's when I give a pre-exam in my class. I'm giving you a pre-exam. That's what I did for 40-some years as a professor. So, the next question. Are we living an abundant life? Okay, somebody is. I don't know who that was. I mean, no more? That's it? Maybe. I mean, that's pretty honest. You living an abundant life there, Tom? You were telling me about it yesterday. I mean, he was telling me about his abundant life. You want more? Stand up and say it, man. Tell everybody here you want more.
I want more.
Amen. This is us. Look, it's us. I mean, do you want more? Or are you done? Oh, no? Okay, she wants more. When she was little, this is the way she said, "Moi, mommy, moi. Moi. Do you want moi?" Okay, she wants moi. Is it possible, no matter what her circumstances is, Today, I'm talking about today, to be so in tune with the Lord that we can go from glory to glory? Is that possible? Okay. Amen. Glory to glory. Next week, I want the report on glory number 2, and then on glory number 3, and number 4, and number 5. We know revival is coming. Can you feel it? Are you ready for it? Okay, it's getting to rock time. The benefits of intimacy with the Almighty include the following: His favor, His joy, His attitude, His grace, His companionship, and His outlook. Ame, have you been having favor? Have you been having joy, Ame? Do you have a better attitude? Steve, answer for her. Does she have a better attitude? You don't have to say. You can say no if it isn't true. Are you experiencing His grace? Are you experiencing His companionship? And is your outlook a little different? So, I have a church of Ame. Well, that's how it started. Let me ask the mom. Well, she's working on birthing it. All right. I mean, I take that. Are you working on birthing it? I mean, think hard. What? This is not a joke. I'm not just trying to rah-rah anything. I'm trying to say, if revival truly is coming, what is wrong with us? Nothing is wrong with us. We have the opportunity to be partakers of this. Yeshua chose a word to describe what He came to bring. It's the word abundant. What does that mean? Abundant. Well, that's like when the river overflows. That's abundant. Yeah, but the river overflowing is not a good thing, right? I mean, all these people and their houses are flooding. Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the dictionary. What does abundant mean? Here it is: plentiful, copious, ample, profuse, rich, Lavish. Oh, I like that word, man. Liberal. What? Liberal. Not the Democrat liberal. Generous. Bountiful. Large. Huge. Great. Bumper. Overflowing. You want some more words? Super abundant. Infinite. Inexhaustible. Opulent. Prolific. Teeming in plenty. And since we have some people from South Africa, Link. I found that on purpose. Link. It says South African informal. Link. Is that true, Elizabeth? Lunk? I mean, that's like I went to a town in north of Roanoke, Virginia. And the way we pronounce it in Puerto Rico is Buchanan. Because we have a fort called Buchanan. So I stopped in the station and said, is this Buchanan? And they looked at me and said, you mean Buchanan? I didn't say another word. It's like, I hope so. I hope that's the right word. I never, Buchanan. Say it with me, Buchanan. What's the opposite? That's a good way to understand a word. What is the opposite of abundant? Scarce. Sparse. Isn't that what sometimes our life is like? Like scarce and sparse? Why? Who must that come from? It can't be Yeshua, can it? You can't have both the positive and the negative, because he said, can a spring get both bitter water and clean water at the same time? Sweet water? No. It's impossible. So it is impossible for Adonai to bring sparse. Sparse matrices, I remember those in college. Or scarce. You know, that's like when you're just kind of making it. Hey, you got any money? Yeah. I used to be able to go to McDonald's. Now I'm lucky if I can get to the drive-thru, the burger joint one. Yeah, Burger and Doodle. It's just no name. All the big ones are the same. McDonald's, Burger King. You can get a Chick-fil-A for. You could get a. My favorite. A Five Guys hamburger. For $6. So I went the other day imagining $6. Marilyn had everything in hers. So the guy said 22 something. And I went like, wait a minute. It says up there that all that stuff my wife wants is free. I said, yes, it is. So how come hers is more than? Actually, sir, yours is more because you want cheese. So it was like, 12 for mine and 10 for her. $22. So I ate it and enjoyed it and then said, I'm not coming back anytime soon. Until I get to the abundant life, then I'm not in the abundant life right now. So I can't afford that hamburger. I observe a lot of people. I'm pretty good at observing. And I've been observing a lot of us in the congregation for a long time. And which one of those terms applies to our lives? Are we the scarce? Are we the sparse people? Or are we the rich, lavish, bountiful, large, you could say, well, we're the large people. Marilyn, raise your hand. There you go. I want company. Now, the book of Deuteronomy, we said 2 weeks ago, is the book of love. You remember that? Maybe if I had sang it, the look of love is in your eyes. A look that I can't, whatever it is, comes next. And you look at the book of Deuteronomy and start singing. The look of love is in your eyes in the book of Deuteronomy. Are you crazy? Absolutely. Totally crazy. We're going to continue to this book of love because we know that love appears more times in this book than any other book. Interesting, in the Tanakh, that appears more. Now, in the New Testament, it's a different story, right? Because you would say, oh, no, you haven't you read John? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, John has love all over the place. Like, big time. That seemed to be the word of the book. Love. For God so loved. I mean, it's all over the book of John. No, what? That's what we... When new believers come, we want them to read the book of John so they get familiar with the term love and how much Adonai, Yah Adonai, loves you that he sent Yeshua. Okay? Let us so love Yeshua and his Father that we begin to love him in Deuteronomy as well as in the book of John. Let's love Yeshua so much that we want this to be... A laboratory for him. That's what we need. A bunch of lab rats. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about so he can experiment with abundant life on you. Let's see what that looks like. We want to be the lab that he spends most of the time on, saying, okay, Candace, let me see which of these words we need to give you today. Let's see. Inexhaustible. How about I pick that? The Lord just said that one. I know and you know that that's a good word for you, isn't it? Okay. Find one of those words and it's for you. Why? Because he gave to give. He came to give abundant life. So somebody needs attitude. Nobody here that needs that. Let's move on to something that somebody needs. Joy. Any grouches around here? Any Oscar the Grouches around here? Do we need companionship? There's abundant life. Outlook. Oh, yeah, man. I need that. Grace. Oh, yeah. Favor. Oh, let's have a contest. Which is the word that you like the best? Among all those words, I'll tell you mine. Don't tell me yours. Mine is favor. Because Noah found favor. And Esther found favor. Ooh, man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So, Noah found favor. Anybody want to share your word? Is there a word here that you like? You're going to have to give me three. Okay, give me three then. Somebody. Nobody. Huh? Yes. Anything else? Anybody else? Look. The Holy Spirit is making notation right now and said she wants a dose of that. So he's filling a prescription right now for Lisma. I don't know how it's going to be delivered, but you're going to get some hesed. Anybody else? Mercy? Yes, sir. Go ahead, somebody speak. Grace, it's in here. Anything else? Some of you are poor. The word rich is in here. Oh, are you a prosperity gospel preacher? Well, don't say it because everybody's gonna go, oh, you wanna be rich. I mean, if you're rich so that you can give it away, you become a vehicle, then that's really fine. Awesome. There's people like that here. And they're, you know, they're, so the IRS thing was still under $20,000, and they're rich. And then there's some that maybe it's $500,000 and they're rich. And everything else in between. The book of Deuteronomy appears more than any other book in Yeshua's speech. He quoted it all the time. Paul had this awesome statement in Romans 12. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, anybody else want to help me? That you present your body holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And that you be transformed, metamorphosis, by the renewing of your minds so that you can prove what is holy and acceptable. Huh? I'm telling you, revival includes transformation. Revival includes metamorphosis. Revival includes attitude changes because the abundant life brings attitude. It's good attitude, that, by the way, that's being talked about here. The bountiful life that Yeshua had for us is we are not the poor and the miserable. Maybe some of you want to be. You know, so you talk about, but Yeshua said, you poor, you have always with me, with you. So you say, oh, that's us. No, I'm not. That's not me. I'm not in that category. I'm not the poor and the miserable. I am the abundant, the lavish, the by God's grace, by his power, by Yeshua, I'm going to have abundance that overflows. And when it overflows, it will be that happens in Havdalah. That happens in Psalm 23. My cup overfloweth. What do you do with the overflow? I mean, there you go. She said, I'm gonna wash my face with it. That's awesome. You're one of the dogs that lapped the water. And, you know, all right, awesome. Do you know that ministry comes from the overflow? If ministry comes from the overflow of your cup in your home, your children can never say, you had time for all your ministry, Dad, but you never had time for me. Or a wife can say, you had all this ministry going, husband, but when it came to myself and the kids, you never had time. It's because priorities get misinterpreted. And the priority for our life is Yeshua and his dad. And then our wife. Then our children. Then our employment. Then ministry. I have been in the church world a long time. And that is not what I was taught or told in 1980, to which I responded with all respect, sir, to a leader, I will not consider that the church is my next priority. It comes after my wife and children. And actually, if you got anything left, know what I mean? And if you do have something else, that overflow, you can use that overflow because it's overflow. It's not in the cup. The wife doesn't need the overflow. The children don't need the overflow. What happens? You need the overflow from me. And I need your overflow. Like when you worship God, like you do here. Like when you say, yes, Yeshua, like you do here. And it overflows, I need it. I drink it up, Ryan. I drink it right up. It's like giving, lighting up a fire on my feet over there. I'm ready to, yes! I'm ready to join you. That's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. So since we're going to be transformed by the renewal of our mind into an abundance life mentality, let me just say, the overflow of that life doeth good like a medicine, as the Proverbs say. The overflow of your life, abundant life with the Lord, doeth good like a medicine. Like a medicine is your abundant life for the Lord. Shabbat shalom.